Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The lower house of parliament has called on the Czech Prime Minister to support the European Commission's €750 million recovery fund, but to push for a fair division of funds over a longer period. Russia says the COVID pandemic currently does not enable top-level negotiations with Prague, and inflation reached 3.3% in June, surpassing expectations. The lower house of parliament has called on Prime Minister Andrej Babiš to support the European Commission's €750 million recovery fund at next week's video conference of the European Council. At the same time, deputies urged the Prime Minister to push for changes to the criteria according to which the money will be divided, so that it would not disadvantage poorer countries which observed fiscal discipline before the coronavirus crisis. They also argued in favour of a longer period during which the money could be used. In the current proposal, it is 4 years. Russia is ready to hold negotiations on diffusing tension between the two countries at the level of deputy foreign ministers, but the coronavirus pandemic does not allow the scheduling of a meeting for the present time. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova told the Russian news agency TASS. She said Moscow currently favored a meeting of special envoys. The press secretary of Vladimir Putin recently described Czech-Russian relations as muddy, saying the Russian government had no plans for high-level contacts with the Czech Republic in the near future. Czech-Russian relations have been increasingly strained in recent months by a row over the statue of Soviet Marshal Ivan Konev, a bogus information plot in which the Czech counterintelligence service was fed information that a Russian agent had been sent to Prague to kill elected Prague officials, and the subsequent mutual expulsion of diplomats. Consumer price growth accelerated to 3.3% in June from 2.9% in May, the Czech Statistics Office reported on Friday. Czechs are paying more for food and housing, as well as alcohol and tobacco. On the other hand, the prices of transport and telecommunications services have dropped slightly. The growth in inflation has exceeded the expectations of both the Czech National Bank and analysts. The central bank thus has no reason to consider further easing its monetary policy and is likely to be tolerant to a possible strengthening of the crown. The CEO of Škoda Auto, Bernard Meyer, is due to leave his post prematurely at the end of July, the company announced on Thursday. No official reasons for his departure have been given. Commentators say the change of guard at the plant could undermine Škoda's strong position in the Volkswagen Group, which is the world's largest car manufacturer. Škoda is the largest Czech exporter, one of the largest employers, with hundreds of smaller suppliers dependent on it. Meyer's time at the helm is described as the golden years in the brand's 125-year history, during which the carmaker broke all sales records. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Saturday should be partly cloudy to overcast, with rain in the eastern parts of the country and day temperatures between 17 and 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hi there, listener. This is Radio Prague International, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, the COVID-19 crisis is leading to a surplus of game, and now a national hunting group is making it possible to order such meat online. Eye from the sky, a huge mural appears right by Prague Airport. And later, we meet a woman from Panama who's living in the Czech Republic and working in the now extremely busy healthcare technology sector. And all that's coming up in today's program. The combination of a long-term rise in numbers of game in the Czech countryside, combined with a decrease in demand from restaurants and meat processors, in part due to the coronavirus pandemic, has led to worries that hunted game may go to waste. As a result, the Bohemian Moravian Hunters Union has created a new direct-to-consumer website where the public can order freshly hunted game, as Tom McEncrow has been finding out.
Every year, Czech hunters, or myslivci as they're called, go into the wild and shoot a set amount of animals to regulate their numbers in the Czech countryside. This is not just a source of income for the myslivec, but his responsibility. For example, if a farmer's property is damaged by wild animals, he has the right to charge the local hunters' union for the damage to this property. Following the hunt, the meat is subsequently sent to restaurants, hotels, and meat processing plants to end up on the plates of the public in one form or another. However, this year, there are fears much of the animals will go to waste, as the coronavirus pandemic has exacerbated an already existing low demand for game, says Jiří Janota, the chairman of the Czech Moravian Hunting Union, which contains over 60,000 members.
This year we've registered a serious decrease in the price and demand for game. This was further increased by the coronavirus pandemic, with large meat processing plants often unable to accept new deliveries of this meat source. It's hard to sell game and restaurants are closed. At the same time, there's pressure on hunters to increase their activity because there is a significant increase in the number of wild animals in the country.
To help solve the issue, the union has launched a direct-to-consumer website called prozvierinu.cz, where anyone can contact hunters in their local area and ask about the game they have to offer. The meat is checked by an expert ahead of the sale for any diseases. The effort has also found support from the Ministry of Agriculture and the State Veterinary Administration. In May, an amendment to the decree specifying the amount of game which can be sold from hunter to customer increased the amount of meat that can be sold this way. Mr. Janota says the Czech Moravian Hunting Union has now also asked the ministry for support in a public campaign, which they have prepared.
The aim should be to focus on the wider members of the public, so that people understand game is not expensive or hard to get, and that if it's a very attractive gastronomic speciality, which is also highly nutritious.
Even if the direct-to-consumer website ends up proving successful, Mr. Janota believes this will not be enough. He says that what matters most is securing a greater demand for game from large meat processing plants.
And that report was by Tom McEncrow. Visitors flying to or from Prague Airport can now admire a huge, colourful mural, one of the largest of its kind in Europe. The large format wall painting was created by the well-known Czech graffiti artist Michal Škapa as part of a project entitled Art Wall. Ruth Frankova reports.
The large format mural Cosmos covers a warehouse of the company CTP in the immediate vicinity of Václav Havel Airport in Prague. The painting, which took nearly 3 weeks to complete, covers a space of 5,250 square meters. Its main motif is a large blue eye which stares from one of the walls towards one of the airport's runways. Vladimír Strejček is the director of the visual studio Draw ETC, which initiated the project. He says this particular mural was more complicated than others. Due to the safety restrictions at the airport, its creators were not allowed to use a nocturnal projector to transfer the design on the wall. Instead, the sketch was transferred directly to the facade with the help of three high lift platforms, Mr. Strejček explains.
This time we did something like system of points, and based on that we did the main shapes on the wall, and then the Škapa with four or six guys, they did it on the wall. They use almost 4,500 cans of spray, you know, so it took a lot of material.
The project, intended to transform some of the city's grey industrial zones and brighten up the public space, originated in 2017.
The mural scene is growing all around the world. In Czech Republic, there is almost nothing. So I asked the CTP developer, because I knew that they have a lot of huge buildings, and I showed them my concept, and they liked that. Okay, they surprised me and they said, okay, why not, we can try it. So I prepared the competition for the public.
The two other murals that originated within the art wall project include a painting by Dutch artist Zia, painted on a warehouse by the D1 motorway near the town of Humpolets. The third work of art is a large format sticker covering a warehouse hall in CT Park Pilsen, created by Kristina Fischerova, head of the Master Studio for Graphic Design at the Ladislav Sutnar Faculty of Design and Art at the University of West Bohemia. Draw ETC is currently preparing a joint project with Prague city councillors, who approached the studio with a plan to transform some of the capital's walls and houses, both in the city centre as well as in the outskirts.
For example, if you are riding by the tram 22 from Malostranska, close to the Prague castle, all around the way there are a lot of huge walls, so they ask us if we can do something with that, because in these days there are a lot of illegal graffiti, and they ask us if we can prepare something what will correspond with Prague Castle, with our history. So it's one small piece of the huge list of the Prague buildings, which we can do something with them, you know.
Vladimir Strejček, director of the visual studio Draw Etc., who was speaking at the end of that report there by Ruth Frankova. Aileen Rodriguez is from Panama, but now lives here in the Czech Republic. Working on the business side of the healthcare technology sector, she's responsible for the wider Central and Eastern European region, and of course has seen her workload pile up significantly in recent months due to the COVID-19 pandemic. To find out more about how she views life here in the Czech Republic and the country's coronavirus response, Tom McEncrow invited her to our studio and asked her how she ended up here in Prague.
To be honest, I was put a choice in front of me, and I had never been to Czech Republic or to Prague, and they said, well, you have two options, either Warsaw or Prague. So I Googled, Prague looked beautiful. So that was, let's say, how I did the first choice. The other few things I knew about Czech Republic, which may sound really, really superficial, but it's about beer. And I said, well, I mean, you cannot go wrong with a country that has a very good beer.
So you literally Googled the country. It was like that. Wow.
Yes.
Had you ever been to Europe before?
Yes, I had been to Europe. I had traveled for, let's say, tourism, you know, Italy, Germany, Netherlands, been to Iceland and a couple of other countries, but never landed into Czech Republic somehow.
And you've been here for how long?
2 years.
You said you were already, let's say, in Western European countries. Was there any culture shock that you encountered when you moved here?
I would not say shock. I think that anyway, coming from, let's say, the other side of the ocean, it's anyway a big difference, especially when we talk about the history and the aging of the cities. But I would say, like, mainly the food. Like, this was, like, one of the big differences that I encountered from when you take Italy, for example.
So the fatty foods, sausages, etc.
The fatty food, yes, yeah. The heavy food, although very good, but very heavy.
And, you know, because we often do these stories, you know, looking into, for example, how there are developments in work visas, etc. How easy or difficult is it for someone outside of the EU to work in the Czech Republic, basically? How was the process for you? Would you say it's simple or not?
I would not call it simple. First of all, I was lucky to have been brought by my company. So basically, the process they had to do to get me here was a bit complex. So from what we thought it was going to take 3 months, took actually around 6-8. But when I finally got here, then it was really very smooth. The experience I have, for example, from my husband is that now he's in the process of getting his own permit, and that has, let's say, been quite hard, because then it's really hard to get a job if you don't have a working permit here.
Now let's move to your what you actually do in the Czech Republic. I understand you're in charge of business marketing for an international company, quite a big one, which is active in the healthcare tech sector. Now that was one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because that must be a very interesting business to work in during the coronavirus pandemic. Could you sort of tell us exactly what is it you do and what your sort of specialization is?
Yeah, sure. So I'm responsible for business marketing for the Central Eastern European region. So 19 countries around the region, including Czech, Poland, Romania, Ukraine, all the way down to Albania. and the Balkans, etc. So basically, my category I'm responsible for is actually oriented, or the portfolio that we look for is around the critical care, which was the most crucial part during COVID. So I can definitely tell you that my COVID lockdown was very much hectic and was a very, a big roller coaster there, as the demand of many countries just went high to the roof as they needed to equip the hospitals to better take care of the patients. You would see different countries, different situations, of course, but there were some that were pointing specific hospitals to be treating COVID. So these hospitals needed to be 100% equipped versus what a regular hospital is normally being equipped with. So definitely a lot of demand around patient monitors, around ventilators. And this was a trend worldwide. What I can tell you is that my impression from the, let's say all the countries in the region, is that definitely some were better prepared than others. Take the Czech Republic, for example. I believe that in the past 2 or 3 years, they have been equipping their hospitals with right equipment all over the place. And when the pandemic hit, it was not so much of a disaster or like a desperate need to get more, but rather more of a here and there fixing and patching. Whereas other countries, started just massively ordering because they were lacking.
Interesting. I mean, it should be said that the Czech Republic had its own problems with personal protective equipment, such as face masks, etc. Many people had to sew them themselves. But from what I understand, you're saying that when it comes to sort of technical healthcare equipment like ventilators, they were quite well prepared.
Yes, I would say so. I mean, it's also my personal opinion from the angle that I was looking at things. I would say that the PPE issue was a worldwide problem, because the demand was higher than 5-6 years worth of supply, which also reflects on any equipment that was necessary for treating the pandemic. So I would say that between March and May, maybe that's where the hardest part was, because countries were kind of assessing what they had, what they needed, and how they could get it. Now you see that more the countries are turning into, okay, so what can happen next if a second wave comes? So there are a lot of things going on, developing in that sense, into being more prepared if something comes again.
The whole region, if we're sort of speaking quite generally, performed pretty well in terms of handling the pandemic compared to other parts of the world. There are many explanations why that happened. You could say it was an early lockdown. According to one quite esteemed American paper, it was the Eastern European attitude learned from living in a totalitarian regime. I don't know exactly what that means, but could you sort of tell us, just from your sort of perspective, how much would you gauge, how important is it to have the right technical equipment? Could one sort of say that was also a big reason for it?
I don't know if the one reason. I think that also, yes, definitely a very important part of it is the culture. I don't know if it's part of whatever experience with a totalitarian regime, but definitely, let's say, sticking to the measures and being responsible oneself, it was actually the biggest part, at least if I compare it to what I hear from Panama. The other part is, definitely, I think that I cannot tell that everyone had the right equipment, but what having the right equipment will help the doctors and the hospitals with is being able to actually pay attention to the patient and not to fixing the tools that they have. So being really trustful of the tools that they have in order to pay attention and care of the person. This is also what we see developing also now, and how we see at least the future, how it might come, that the healthcare systems will start paying a little more attention to what we call value-based care, which is focusing on outcomes rather than on the prices of procedures. So they are definitely making sure that when the patients leave the hospital, they will not return.
Since I have you here, I have to ask you, do you have any, are there any rumors or anything, or in your sort of sector, like how do you see care specifically when it comes to coronavirus? How do people expect it will develop in the coming months or perhaps even years? People talk of a coming second wave.
What I can tell you, what we see the trends that are, like, let's say what coronavirus has pushed on to the healthcare systems, is definitely becoming less dependent on paper. So you still see, and you would not imagine that in this day and age, people are still writing things down on paper and filing it somewhere. This is actually what is happening. So what coronavirus has pressed, because then being on paper, let's call it like this, has a lot of human contact. So this is definitely a trend that we are seeing overall, is that digitalization of the healthcare system is being pushed really hard because of Corona. So hospitals and healthcare systems in general are going to have to start thinking how to be more connected, more having more decision making based on data. So going into like what the rest of the industries, let's say, have been already into for quite some time, going into more of a digitalized and modernized era. This is what we think that will be accelerated due to Corona, as hospitals prepare now for, let's say, a second Corona or a new pandemic, which, I don't know, experts are saying that in the next 5 years, we will have something worse.
Now, just from listening to you, it sounds like you really like the Czech Republic. You've just said positive things. I was wondering, you know, is there something where you think the Czech Republic is lacking, something you'd like to see changed?
I would say that perhaps as a foreigner, you are not aware of everything. So also by not speaking the language, you are just in your own bubble where like a lot of things are not happening, or you're not seeing a lot of things happening that might affect like the actual Czech population. What I was just seeing on the media the other day was like with this whole thing about racism, like that it's still kind of latent here. I have not experienced it myself, but it seems that this is still kind of something that is around. I cannot say, like, again, I cannot say if it's like a nationwide problem or if it's still just that, you know, cultural, historical approach to foreigners in general. But other than that, I mean, I've read many things that people talk about the service in Czech Republic, etc. I mean, I cannot say it's the best, but I also don't come from a country where it was better to compare. So I guess I didn't have any expectations on this. And as a foreigner, the most important thing to understand is that you are coming to someone else's culture. Like if you were coming to someone else's house, you're not going to do what you want. You're going to just basically adapt to what the local dictates.
I mean, one of the reasons I asked you is because you're sort of quite active in the expat sort of sphere. I mean, you meet quite a lot of expats, and I was just wondering, you know, if you guys, for example, talk about this and if there are any points which are brought up or not. Or
I don't know. I think, again, it's sometimes if it's like, let's say, the attitude of the people towards when you're coming and not speaking their language. So it can be somehow perceived as rude. But that's also tied somehow to the service. I can only, let's say, try to put myself in their shoes. If I don't understand what the other person is saying, I can get frustrated. So it might be that. It might just be that they're rude, but I will never know.
Yeah, so chicks are quite touchy about the language. It is just a shame that it's so hard to learn.
Yes, it is. I've tried, but not there yet.
Do you like Czech Republic enough that you think you want to stay here long term? Or is it always just a short term thing for you?
No, I really like the Czech Republic. I really like Prague. And yes, like I really think that unless I'm being moved, I would probably try to stay here. We have settled pretty nicely. And I really like the neighborhood and the city. And definitely, like I told you already, like I have not explored the country entirely. So I think there's still a lot more to do here. Living in the Czech Republic is quite easy. If I compare it to Panama, for example, not needing a car for me, it's already a big thing. And being able to be in contact with nature, like just around the corner. And of course, again, having great beer, that's always a plus.
If you had to give a tip to foreigners, perhaps considering Czech Republic to move here, what would you tell them? You know, maybe some tips on what to ensure you have ready before you come or from your personal experience?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing is do not expect to come to a country where you're just going to be welcome and given a work visa right away. This is not like that. I think that the Czech market, the labor market is very, very prepared and very solid. So they are really cherry picking on who's worth here, which is good, but because also then, let's say, the locals have more opportunities. Whereas if I can compare to back home, the foreigners sometimes have more opportunities. So this is really good. But I think if I have to give tips to people, the Czech Republic is beautiful. Just make sure that you're not expecting it to be like your own country. You need to kind of look how to adapt. And it takes a time. So you learn what is good, what is not. For example, if you're not going to finish your beer, they will never take it out of your table. So do not think that the service is rude because your glass is still there, because it's you that you didn't finish your beer. So.
Aileen Rodriguez, who was speaking to my colleague Tom McEncroe. And I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today on Radio Prague International. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and speak to you again very soon.